All rise. Oyez, oyez, oyez. The United States Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims is now in session. The Honorable William P. Green, Chief Judge, presiding. All who have business before this court, draw near and you shall be heard. God bless the United States and this Honorable Court. You may be seated.
Good morning. Joining me on the bench today are Judges Castle and Davis. We are here to hear the case of Howard E. Chandler versus Shinseki. The court recognizes Mr. Will Gunn, the General Counsel of VA. Glad to have you here this morning, sir. And are counsel ready to proceed?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right. Would counsel represent the appellant? State their names for the record.
My name is Thomas Riley, Your Honor.
Mr. Riley?
May I proceed?
Just a moment. And for the government.
Thomas Sullivan for the Secretary of Government Affairs. And with me at counsel table is Gail Strong.
Very well.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Riley, you have 30 minutes to present your argument. Do you wish to reserve any of that time for rebuttal?
10 minutes, Your Honor.
Very well. You may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. With me today, Your Honor, is Meg Bartley from the National Veterans Legal Services Program and Paige Willen from my office, and we represent Mr. Chandler, the appellant in this matter. Your Honor, the board's decision denying...
Thank you for that representation.
It's an honor, Your Honor. The board's decision denying Mr. Chandler's application for special monthly pension benefits should be reversed, Your Honor. And the issue in this case is whether a veteran over the age of 65 who has been receiving a pension for many, many years, in this case since 1992, before he was 65 years old, should be denied the benefit of statutory protection and statutory benefits that are accorded to other veterans over the age of 65. And in this case, Mr. Chandler was denied the protections accorded by 38 U.S.C. Section 1513A, on the basis that he had been receiving pension benefits since 1992 before he was reached the age of 65.
So you're saying under 1521, which is how he qualified for the pension.
Correct.
That he does not have to have the same, that he does not have to have the same qualifications for, say, housebound under 1521 as would another person applying under 1521.
What I'm saying, Your Honor, is that by virtue of Section 1513, that's he does not need to show a permanent and total disability as Section 1521 would otherwise require.
Why does 1513 even apply in this case?
Because he's over the age of 65.
But he's not applying.
Your Honor, he is applying. He did apply.
He's applying for an enhancement of his 1521
correct.
Pension.
That's correct. He is applying. He's applied today. The VA has conceded in its brief that if he had applied, if he was applying afresh today,
right.
clean slate, he would be entitled to the benefit and the protections of Section 1513. And the reason he was denied the benefit and the protections of 1513 is that he had previously been receiving a pension benefit for many years. So the question is...
Which section is he actually getting a pension benefit under?
Your Honor, he's been receiving a pension for many years under 1521.
Well, I understand that, but 1521A just simply gets you get a certain amount. Which one does he get? Does he get B, C, D, F? What amount is he getting?
He's getting the A amount, Your Honor.
Okay, well, I'm looking at A, and I don't see an amount. Okay. So it looks to me like he gets an amount under one of the others, no?
Your Honor, I don't know the specific answer to that. It must be B, but I'm not.
Before we go, can I ask the Secretary, do you know which one he was getting under?
Your Honor, I'm not certain the exact amount of the pension. My assumption is Section B.
B. All right. Thank you. All right.
But by virtue of 1513A, if he were applying for a new pension...
Just to follow up on that, is your client married?
No, Your Honor.
All right. So if it's B, and we'll assume it is for now, the rate would be $35.50 under this statute, unless there's something newer. And your client wants it under E, which is a higher amount.
Correct.
All right. I got it.
And he wants the higher amount by virtue of the application of 1513A, which eliminates the requirement of a disability that's rated permanent and total.
Counsel, how does B factor into that then? When B says if he's eligible for pension under 1513 and 1521, that he shall be paid only under Section 1521.
Correct. And the purpose of Section 1513B, Your Honor, is to make it clear that a veteran who is over 65 and who has a permanent and total disability, so he would be duly qualified, the veteran would be duly qualified under 1513 or under 1521. The purpose of that 1513B is to make it clear that that veteran is only entitled to one payment, and the payment is to be made under 1521, including all of its subparts A and E. So what 1513B is to avoid a veteran saying, I'm permanently and totally disabled, so I get the benefit of 1521. I'm over 65, so I get another pension under 1513. So the purpose of 1513 is really to eliminate and avoid the double payment that a veteran otherwise could say, I'm duly qualified and I get two pensions. So what 1513B, all it's doing is to say, and it says, 1513A says that you pay the benefits in accordance with 1521 and under the conditions of 1521, except for the permanent and total disability requirement.
Let me just take it. 1513A says, other than the permanent and total disability requirement.
Correct.
Of 1521.
Right.
The permanent and total disability requirement of 1521 is A. In other words, you didn't understand which section you got paid under, but you don't get paid under A. A simply qualifies you for a pension to begin with, and then when you meet this, or this, you get that. So A is the permanent and total disability requirement.
Correct.
And that, if you're over 65, gets substituted in for A.
Correct.
You then still need to meet either B or C or D, and in this case you're arguing E, and you're arguing that the total disability requirement, which it looks like applies to A, also applies to E, that the disability rated as permanent and total, and then one says has an additional disability.
Correct.
It isn't E focused on a separate and distinct disability rating as permanent and total,
the
as
answer,
opposed to a substitution from above?
Your Honor, the answer to your question is provided directly by the Hartness case.
Right.
And under the Hartness case, the language in 1513A that removes the requirement of showing a permanent and total disability applies both to A and to E under 1521. Hartness involved an application for pension benefits under 1521E, just like this case. And the court was very, very clear when it said that the 1513A eliminates the requirement of permanent and total disability under A, and it eliminates the requirement of a disability rated as permanent and total under E. The court said that three or four times in its decision. It was very, very clear about that. Those passages are all quoted in our brief, and I think the court itself has answered that question in the Hartness case.
At least that panel.
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
At least in the panel decision.
Correct.
That I drafted. So thank you, counsel, for acknowledging how clear that opinion was.
It was compelling, Your Honor. But
so compelling that it causes me to ask a question. Hartness addressed 1521A, did it not?
Yes.
And
A and E.
Well, it addressed A, right?
Correct.
And in addressing A, it went on to address what you were qualified in order, what qualified you for a pension under 1521, that you didn't have to have permanent and total disability?
Correct.
If you were over 65?
Correct.
All right. And the other than permanent and total disability requirement doesn't go to eligibility does it under 1513A?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Under 1513A,
right.
When you get to the part about other than the permanent and total disability requirement,
right.
That doesn't go to qualification, does it?
The permanent and total disability requirement?
Right.
I thought it is a requirement under 1521A.
Under 1513?
Yes.
Under 1513, all you have to do is have a period of war.
That's right.
And be over 65.
Be over 65, and then
so being permanent and total, it doesn't have to, anything to do with it.
Well, I think what Congress was doing in 1513A is to, and I think this is kind of laid out in the Hartness case too, but they wanted to eliminate the requirement of having to show a disability for veterans who were over 65. That's embodied in the legislative history, so that if you are over the age of 65, the requirement of showing permanent total disability is eliminated by virtue of 1513A. Have I answered the court's question?
No, but go ahead. I'll process it as you continue.
Okay. Your Honor, what the VA is relying upon is there's nothing in the statute in 1513A that makes it that makes it contingent, the application of 1513A contingent on whether or not the veteran had previously received a pension. There's nothing in the language that restricts its application to veterans who had not previously received benefits. It applies to all veterans who are over 65, whether or not they previously received a pension. So by the statutory language, Mr. Chandler is entitled to the benefit of 1513A. Now, what the VA doesn't, the VA is relying upon 1513B as the reason for denying him the benefit of 1513A. I've already talked about 1513A and what I think it does, and I think all it does is to prevent a veteran like him or someone over 65 from claiming two pensions. And I
so the, should the statute be amended for a 1521 veteran?
Right.
Say I applied when I was 55. And so as far as he is concerned, should it then just say, upon reaching the age of 65, an individual can have enhanced pension?
I think that would be clear, but I don't think it's necessary. I think the statute, because it's broad, sweeps in any veteran who's over 65, whether or not the veteran has previously received benefits. I think if there was a provision like...
So you only have to have a permanent and total disability, rated at permanent and total disability, if you're under 65?
Correct. That's what the statute says.
And so the 100% plus 60 applies to only under 65?
Correct.
Okay. And you don't have to have a permanent and total disability to be housebound?
You wouldn't be under, if you didn't have a permanent total disability, a disability rate is permanent total, you wouldn't be under 1521E if you're under 65.
Where would you be?
You wouldn't qualify under 15. If you're under 65 and you don't have a disability that's rated...
If you do have a disability.
If you do have a disability that's rated as permanent and total and you're under 60, and you're under 65, you'd be under 1521E.
And if I'm over 65, I don't have to have permanent...
You don't have
disability.
To have it. But if you duly, you know, but if you do have it and you're duly qualified, you're duly eligible, then you take under 1521, or you paid under 1521, because that's what 1513B says.
Counsel, right now the appellant is receiving a pension under 1521A, correct?
Correct.
And your position is that he may be entitled to or is entitled to special monthly payments under 1521E.
Correct.
Okay. Which would mean two pension payments. Is that correct?
He would just be paid at the higher amount under 1521E.
At the higher amount? In addition to 1521A?
No, at the higher amount.
So he would not continue to receive payment under 1521A?
As I understand the statute, Your Honor, 1521E increases the amount of the monthly pension, so he would be paid at the higher amount.
Okay. I just want to make sure I understand your position, that you're not suggesting he should receive a pension payment under 1521A and under 1521E.
No, I'm not, Your Honor.
Okay.
Now, I just want to talk a little bit about the Hartness case. And Hartness says that, expressly says the requirement of a disability that's rated permanent in total under 1521E is eliminated for veterans over 65. It applies to Mr. Chandler because he's over 65. Just a couple of the questions comments I'd like to make about the FAST letter, which is cited as in the VA's decision. And the VA cites really no legal authority for its interpretation, sets forth no legal reasoning for...
Is that an implementation of Hartness?
Yes, the FAST letter is...
Isn't that enough authority?
The Hartness decision?
Yeah.
If it was properly followed, but I think that the way that the board applied Hartness is incorrect, because I don't think there's anything in Hartness that justifies distinguishing a veteran over 65 based on whether or not the veteran had previously received a pension or not. That's not in the statute, and there's nothing in Hartness that justifies that distinction. So the FAST letter itself was adopted without notice and comment. It affected the outcome of the case because it's the only legal authority that was relied upon in the board's decision. They don't interpret the statute, and there's no discussion of the Hartness case itself. It's just merely a citation to the FAST letter. So, in effect, the FAST letter was being treated as a rule which determined the outcome of the case, and it was not adopted pursuant to notice and comment.
Counsel, doesn't the board opinion on page 5 discuss Hartness and follow that up with a reference to the FAST letter?
It does.
5 and 6?
That's exactly my point, Your Honor. It distinguishes Hartness, and then all it does is to cite the FAST letter, but it doesn't cite to anything in Hartness that really justifies the distinction that's being drawn here between veterans who have been receiving pensions previously and veterans who have not. So it does, and I think that's why it's according the FAST letter the weight of a rule, because there is no legal analysis or interpretation here other than what's in the FAST letter. And the FAST letter is, in effect, determining the outcome of this application in violation and inconsistently with what the Hartness case says. Now, I want to say...
What are the various disabilities and what are the various ratings that your client has?
He's rated at 60% for prostate cancer. He has a number of others, including mostly rated at 10%, including osteoarthritis of the knees, glaucoma, depression, COPD.
He does not stand alone have a permanent total disability rating?
He has no disability that's rated 100%. No, he does not.
And so under Hartness, you don't need the permanent and total disability rating.
That's correct.
And
under 15.
You're arguing under both 1 and 2 of E that he has an additional rating at 60% and that he is housebound?
Well, he clearly has a total disability rating of 80%. His prostate is rated independently at 60%. So he clearly meets the requirement of the first subparagraph of E.
Well, and then the first subparagraph of E says an additional disability.
Right. The additional disability in this case would be certainly his prostate cancer.
At 60%.
At 60%.
Okay.
So he clearly satisfies
Are
that.
You also arguing two?
Well, what we said about two is that the board decision does not adequately address the permanent payment. And that's in our briefs, and I'm content to rest on the briefs on that point. It is in the briefs. I don't think he needs to meet it because he meets the first subparagraph.
So So he has a disability rated as permanent and total, no longer needs to be, is no longer required per 1513 because he's over 65.
Correct.
And he has a 60% rating.
Correct. So he clearly qualifies because he doesn't have to show the permanent and total disability.
And that's based on hardness, right?
Yes.
Let's go back to that because I want to see your view on that, because under 1513, right?
Right.
Under 1513, what qualifies a person for pension?
It's the service.
As it's written. That he has to have service and period of war.
Correct.
Period.
Correct.
There's nothing about
and he has to meet the other conditions.
What?
Of 1521. For example, under E, he would have to have a separate rating of 60%.
No. I'm at 1513. If I'm 66 years old and I'm a veteran and I'm coming in seeking a pension,
right?
What do I need?
You need to be, if you're 65
I need to be
years old,
66.
Okay. So
65.
Okay.
And what else?
And you have the service. You have the service requirements.
Okay.
Then you look at the other requirements, the other conditions that are set by 1521. And the income issue.
So in B, you have to be unmarried and no child. In C, you have to be married and contributing.
But if I'm 65 and I have a period of war, I qualify for a 1513 pension. I don't have to have, like in 1521, the permanent and total disability.
You do not.
Right?
It's eliminated.
Okay. And Hartness addressed that and said, took out the permanent and total disability requirement of 1521A.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Correct.
And somehow applied it to 1513.
Well,
when there wasn't a... When there
1513, wasn't a basically 1513 eliminates the requirement that's in 1521. It's done away with by the statute.
But it goes to qualification, not to amount of pension.
It goes to qualification.
Right. And what goes to qualification for 1521 is that you have to, if you're under 65, you have to have a permanent and total disability.
Correct.
And a period of war.
Correct.
And then you qualify for pension.
Well, yeah, and if you're over 65, you eliminate the clause in 1521E that talks about disability rated as permanent and total. That requirement's gone.
Is that what other than service requirement meant in 1513?
I believe so.
Other than permanent and total disability requirement?
Yeah, I think it is. I think when you are applying under 1513, you look to all the requirements of 1521 except for the permanent and total disability. So that the only requirement that's eliminated, I think, is the permanent and total disability requirement. All of the other requirements under 1521 would remain in effect.
Okay.
And where does the permanent and total disability requirement appear in 1521?
The permanent and total disability requirement is in subpart E of 1521, which is the section that our veteran has applied under, and that is the requirement that is eliminated by virtue of 1513.
And it's in A as well.
Correct.
Right. Okay.
Yes.
Well, just as a last point, I mean, why is it in E at all if to qualify to begin with you needed a permanent and total disability? Unless it's included in E because it's a single permanent and total disability. I mean, I'm not understanding why it's in E.
Why is it in both if it's already in A?
To interpret it the way you're arguing and I gather discussed, it's superfluous.
Well,
I mean, you could put it in C, you could put it in B, you could put it in F. It's automatically in all of these because it's an A, and A is the overriding paragraph that says you're entitled to some kind of pension. Now you go to the specifics,
right.
And E all of a sudden comes out, and if you interpret it to say just the general overall permanent total disability as opposed to the specific permanent total disability rating for a single disability.
Yeah, I understand. Your Honor is suggesting it must mean something different, otherwise it would be superfluous.
But that was already decided in Harmus. Okay, I got it.
And I think it's addressed, but 1513A, I think, does away with it in E-A-N-E, and I think that's what Harkness, exactly what Harkness says. Now, if I can just want to briefly say that I think there are a couple of adverse implications.
You had to hold that for your doing your rebuttal.
Okay. Thank you, Your Honor.
Chief Judge Green, Judges Castle and Davis, may it please the court. Once again, I'm Thomas Sullivan, representing the Secretary of Veterans Affairs, and again, Gail Stroman at council table with me. Your Honors, today the court is asked to review the March 7, 2008 BVA decision, and we believe that this case turns on the relationship between sections 1513B and 1521E. The Secretary would assert to you today that the court's prior decision in Harkness v. Nicholson does not control the outcome of this case, because by the nature of the facts presented in Harkness, the court did not have to reach the question of the meaning of 1513B.
Well, I'm confused, because you could have, and I gather you did appeal, but then withdrew your appeal as to the decision in Harkness. That's a panel decision which we're bound by, and it specifically said that the permanent and total disability in 1513A applies to both A and E. It says that. That's the holding of this court at this time. You didn't come in here and argue that we overturned that particular decision. You came in with a fast decision that seemed to go entirely around it and avoid what this court decided, and came up with something that you can explain how you get there, but I don't understand how, because you're rated under 1521, somehow or another, when you turn 65, you don't now get the added benefit of E, which had this permanent disability requirement, which gets negated for those over 65, and then you happen to have one disability rated over 60%. I mean, that's the appellant's argument, and given Harkness, and given that it wasn't appealed, and given that it's a panel case at this time, how do you come up with an argument that because you're rated under 1521, those people who are 65 in Congress really, really thought about and said, when you turn 65, we're going to assume permanent total disability, which then takes it out of E, pursuant to our panel case, come up with the interpretation that you have?
Well, Your Honor, we do believe it is distinguishable. We agree with you that Harkness is the law, and we accept Harkness as it is written. What I would submit to you is the holding in Harkness on page 222 of the decision. If I may quote, it says, "We hold that applying the plain language of section 1513A to section 1521, and it goes on to explain that the permanent and total disability rating qualification is removed from subsections A and subsection E. So the whole day we would submit turns on 1513A. The court did not need to reach the meaning of 1513B. It is not our intent to run the end around Harkness, Your Honor, as you might suggest. It is our intent today just to submit to the court the fine distinction that the Harkness case presents and the distinguishing facts in Mr. Chandler's case today. As the court duly noted at the outset of the argument, Mr. Chandler was receiving pension under 1521 for a number of years prior to the time he turned 65.
Right, but I just want to understand this. He's getting it under 1521, and I think apparently it's B.
Apparently B or C.
Congress, through an interpretation of this court accepted by the Secretary, says that when you turn 65, you no longer need the permanent and total disability to get a pension.
Well, if I may, Your Honor.
Yeah.
Congress has said that, as Harkness has interpreted what Congress has said with regard to 1513A. What I would point out to the court is that 1521E is a special pension. It's a special enhancement for those veterans who are the most severely disabled and who have additional expenses over and above the average pensioner.
Yeah, but I mean, under Hartness, anyone over 65 fits the first part, and therefore, those veterans who fit the first part and have a 60% are the ones who are severely disabled. So this is different than somebody who has a temporary, a total disability rating of 100% based on exceptional circumstances or extraordinary review and only a 40% rating, or a 40 and a 30. They wouldn't get this. But this particular veteran does have that 60% additional rating.
Yes,
so
he does.
Doesn't that just meet what you just said?
Well, I would submit to you, Your Honor, that that is a plausible interpretation of Hartness as it applies to the facts here in Mr. Chandler's case. The Secretary believes that there is a distinction because we can't read 1513A without understanding the meaning of 1513B.
Okay.
And the Secretary...
Just tell me why the appellant's argument that B simply means you don't get two of them, like one under 1521B and one under 1521A, is not the correct under 1513, is not the correct interpretation. So focus on that.
Again, Judge Castle, that is a plausible interpretation, but I think actually the intent of the section goes farther than just that. I think what it says is that it duly eligible claimants will be paid out of 1521. So that means they need to satisfy the requirements of a 1521 pension. If you come in and you are over 65 and you have one disability rated as permanent and total, as 1521E specifies, we would submit that claim would need to be adjudicated under 1521E, the permanent and total rating, the rated disability is permanent and total, because that's what 1513B instructs the Secretary to do. Now, I think that preserves Congress's specific intent to have the enhanced pension, the special monthly pension, preserved for those pensioners who are the most severely disabled and, as I said before, who have the highest degree of disability.
Yeah, but given Hartness, you're 66 years old, you have a permanently housebound, you're permanently housebound. Under Hartness, you would now receive a pension under E. Two, is that correct?
That is a plausible reading of Hartness, yes.
And a 64-year-old would not get it because he doesn't have permanent and total disability, but the 66-year-old, or 5 whenever you turn 65, would get it under 1513 because he has permanent and total disability and he's housebound. That's Hartness.
That is Hartness.
All right. So I'm having a hard time if it's 66 under 1513A, permanent and total disability is read out, that under E, if you have a disability at 60%, and in this case, multiple disabilities with one of them at 60%, so we don't even have the case of a one disability, so there's no additional, for example, which might be an argument. How does that veteran not qualify? One and two are equal under E. One and two both give a veteran these additional benefits. If Congress recognized it for two, it equated it to one. So why wouldn't the veteran get it? And now, what you're arguing is, because he got it under 64, under B, he turns 65 and 66, and we all know as you get older, things get harder, etc. Somehow, Congress said that veteran doesn't get it. I'm having a hard time following that.
Well, I think, Your Honor, your reading of Hartness is a reasonable reading of Hartness.
Well, what's your reading of Hartness?
My reading of Hartness is that Hartness was limited to just a specific holding that interpreted the meaning of 1513A.
Yeah, 1513A says that the permanent and total disability provisions of 1521A, and they said E, are fulfilled by you being 65 years old.
That's correct. That's correct. But we would submit that 1513B can't be read out of the statute. It can't be rendered meaningless. It must mean something.
It does. It means that you don't get two of them. You don't get a 1521B and a 1521E.
Well, I would submit, Your Honor, with all due respect, I believe that that is correct, but I also think that, it, as I said earlier, it goes farther than that. And I also would like to point out that when Congress has not wanted a claimant to take two benefits, Congress has used much more restrictive language than Congress has used in this specific clause today.
But you're suggesting that if a veteran is eligible for pension under both this section and 1521, he shall be paid only under 1521, which means he gets the lesser of the pension, and that certainly isn't the congressional intent.
I'm sorry, I didn't follow that.
If you're eligible under 1513 because you're 65, and otherwise eligible under 1521 because you're permanently and totally disabled, You would have to take the lesser of the two pensions that are authorized. You couldn't qualify for E. I mean, I'm not understanding it.
Well, that's the facts of the case here today. That's exactly Mr. Chandler's situation.
I have to ask. I got to go back and go to 1513A and go to the parenthetical in there. It talks about other. Than the permanent and total disability requirement. Now, what does that refer to? What does that caveat right there mean? That the veteran will be paid at the 1521 condition rate other than the permanent and total disability requirement?
Yes.
And so what does that mean? Does it mean that where there is a permanent and total disability requirement that applies? Or does not apply.
It's removed. Hartness tells us.
Hartness
it's removed.
Says it doesn't apply.
That's correct.
But they said it in the context of saying that it didn't apply in 1521A.
Well, they said it didn't apply in the context of 1521A. But Hartness also goes farther to remove the one disability rated as permanent and total under 1521E. Now, in Mr. Hartness's case, the court didn't need to reach the question of the relationship between 1513B and 1521E. All our argument consists of today is simply pointing out to the court that this case is distinguishable from the decision in Hartness, which was limited on its facts. And this particular case...
Well, give me a case where I would apply Hartness then. I'm sorry, I'm having trouble.
Certainly.
Asking you, I mean, you're saying that we don't have to look at 1513?
Oh, of course. I believe that you have to look at 1513, and I think
just to follow up, if I may, Chief. I think what he's saying, or at least the way, because he's already getting it under 1521, even when he turns 65, we don't look at 1513, is what you're saying.
That's the Secretary's position, okay. Yes.
That's what I thought.
Yes, Your Honor. 1513, to answer your previous question, if a claimant came in and he was over the age of 65...
Except that Hartness says 1513 takes 1521E requirements out of the consideration.
That is correct. Hartness does do that. But Hartness does that without resolving the relationship between 1513B and 1521E, or 1521, which says that you can't, if you're eligible under both, then you can only be paid under 1521, Your Honor.
Well, it makes sense. I mean, you know, if everything is the same, but Hartness made things different, didn't it?
Hartness did make things different, and I would also...
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, Your Honor.
I mean, if you look at B, it just says if you qualify under both, 1521 prevails.
Hartness would appear to say that, and the court could reasonably hold that Hartness controls.
No, I don't think I'm saying that. I'm saying 1513B says that. If a veteran is eligible for pension under both sections, right? he shall be paid under 1521.
That's correct.
So to be eligible under both sections would mean what?
It would mean that you would have to be over 65.
65.
And that you would have to be rated, or you would have to be permanent and totally disabled.
Right.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
You would have to have both qualifications.
Right. And that's what 1521 requires in E. You have to be rated at total and permanent disability.
Well, I would submit, Your Honor, Hartness does not say what I'm going to say, but I would submit that there is a distinction between being permanently and totally disabled,
right,
and having one disability rated as permanent and total.
And what is that distinction?
I believe, Your Honor, that if we look at 38 U.S.C. 1502, which defines permanent and total disability in the context of pensions, it seems to show us, when we look at the various types of permanent and total disability, that you may not have one disability rated as permanent and total, meaning 100%, but you could still be found to be permanently and totally disabled. For example, a patient in a nursing home for long-term care, they might not actually be rated at 100% or have one disability rated at 100%, but they certainly could be found to be permanent and total for the qualification under 1521A.
But isn't that the argument that you should have been made or perhaps did make and was rejected in Hartness? I mean, the language in E is has a disability rated as permanent and total. The language in A is who is permanently and total. It's very, I understand your argument, but didn't Hartness say that E, even though it has this language, was wiped out when you turned 65?
Yes, Your Honor. Hartness appears to conflate the two. And I that's why I kind of began with the caveat that I was going to step back from what Hartness says. But yes, Hartness appears to conflate the two. And as I've said, if the court should find that Hartness controls, then you would adopt appellant's argument and you could reverse. All we're asking the court today is to take a close look at Hartness and note that Hartness didn't need to make a distinction or didn't need to resolve the 1521B issue.
Counsel, doesn't Hartness actually recognize the distinction between the language in E and the language in A in footnote 2 of the Hartness opinion?
When you ask that question, I'm sure it probably does.
Just take a moment and take a look at footnote 2.
Okay. Well, yes, you are correct, Your Honor. Thank you for pointing that out.
Okay.
And I apologize for that. Oh. Intended no disrespect, certainly. I understand that the court is frustrated with the idea that the Secretary is somehow trying not to acknowledge Hartness. That's not our argument at all. We do acknowledge Hartness, and we have accepted it as the law, and we have been applying Hartness. We believe in a case like this, where a pensioner comes in with a 1521 pension, he's been in receipt of that pension for many, many years, he's now over the age of 65, and he comes in and he says, oh, well, I want my Hartness pension, I want my 1513 pension. He doesn't meet the qualifications under the pension.
But he still needs to be 60% or more disabled with one disability or be permanently housebound. I mean,
that is correct. He has to have the additional qualifications. Yes, absolutely.
Sergeant.
Absolutely.
So the gratuity, the gift, if you will, is that when you're old, the 64-year-old veteran has to have a rating of permanent and total disability. The 65-year-old doesn't.
That's correct.
Okay.
That is correct. Under Hartness.
And it wasn't that way before Hartness?
Well, I think 1513 is clear that if you're over 65, that the additional disability qualification is removed. The statute says that, 1513
well, where
says
was
that.
What additional qualification is removed?
Well, there has always been a qualification that in order to receive a non-service-connected disability pension,
right,
that you had, you were rated as permanently and totally disabled.
Right.
When Congress enacted in 2001 under the Veterans Benefits and Pension Expansion Act, Congress removed any requirement if you were over 65,
mm-hmm,
and Hartness discusses this at length. Congress removed...
You didn't have to have a permanent total disability
to
qualify.
Right, you didn't have to have that anymore.
But in terms of what you get for pension...
Well, that's what Hartness decided. That was the issue, as I understand it. The Secretary said that under E, you needed this additional disability, and Hartness determined that that was also wiped out. So it was an issue, I believe, in Hartness. And
so your enhanced pensions required certain types of disability.
Yes, yes.
In addition to your general qualification.
That is our position today.
And Hartness is saying it's all the same.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct. Your Honors, if there's no further questions...
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Rowley?
Yeah, Your Honor.
Sure.
Just very briefly, the court did, in fact, need to reach the issue of the interplay between 1513 and 1521E in Hartness, and that's because it was an application for pension, special monthly pension, under 1521E. I don't think the court could have been more clear.
Your opposing counsel is talking about 1513B.
Correct. And my only point is that the Hartness decision is very, very clear that the statute does away with the requirement of a disability rated as permanent and total.
No, I agree, but you would agree that they didn't discuss and didn't need to discuss 1513B.
They did not.
I think that was counsel's
point. Okay. And all I'm saying is clearly,
I got you.
E is the one that we're dealing with here, and they clearly addressed it there, and they had to address it there. That's my point. As far as Section 1513B and whether the interpretation of that, provision is plausible or not.
Well, it's not so much what if yours is plausible, what if the Secretary's is plausible?
Well, I think I don't think there's necessarily any deferences needed to that. There's certainly no formal rule or anything that embodies that, and I think the court is certainly capable of addressing the issue. And I think the court is really required to construe the statute if there's any ambiguity in favor of the veteran. So, in that respect, I think the statute should be construed in the way we proposed. I don't think there's any magic language that Congress needs to use to prevent double payments.
Well, why is the Secretary's interpretation not plausible?
I don't think that's what the statute says.
Well, I didn't ask you that question.
Well,
is it plausible? Are you?
No, because it's not what the statute says.
All right, so now why isn't it plausible?
All it does is that it says under 1513, B says that you get paid under 1521. It doesn't reimpose any of the conditions that have been eliminated by 1513A. So I don't think it's plausible. I don't think it's consistent with the statutory language. And then just very briefly, some of the adverse consequences to veterans that flow from the way that the statute is being interpreted here. The statute and the board's decision might actually discourage veterans who are, let's say, under the age of 65, even though they'd be qualified for pension benefits, from applying because it might prejudice a later application for a higher amount. And I don't think that that's what Congress intended when it passed the statute that eliminated the disability requirements for pension under 1521. And so I think the implication of this is that veterans may actually be discouraged from applying before they're 65 because they might get a higher pension benefit after they're 65. And it also could encourage veterans who are over 65 and who are receiving benefits and who are entitled to receive benefits to renounce those benefits for a year and then apply anew. And I don't think that that was what Congress intended either. And before the court is to reach a decision that would uphold such a rationale and such a policy, I think you need much more clear direction from Congress that that's what they said. And I don't think there's anything in the language of the statute that would support that. And I think another consequence of this is that you could have two veterans with the exact same disabilities and who are the exact same age, and they could receive different pension amounts because one has been, and one would be prejudiced because he was disabled for a longer period of time.
Give me that example.
Well, let's say you have, they have the same, when they're age 70, they have the exact same conditions, but one individual has had them since he's 50.
Wait a minute. So give me the two people who are 70 with the real conditions that they have.
Okay, well, let's say you had Mr. Chandler, who has a 60% disability rating, 80% total disability rating, and he's 70. And let's say you had another veteran who also age 70, let's say, who now has a disability from prostate cancer, rated exactly the same way, but he got his disability arose when he's 70, let's say. Mr. Chandler, because he's been receiving pension benefits, according to the board's decision, Mr. Chandler, because he has been disabled, and all of that is the age at which the disability arose, they could have the same conditions, but the one who's been sicker for longer.
No, I'm not following you. I mean, it seems to me that if an individual is 60 and has a real disability, a permanent total disability, he can get a pension, and even though he doesn't have one at 60%. And then as time goes on, one develops into 60%. I don't think the Secretary is saying you can't get an upgrade.
He wouldn't get, well.
So they're not exactly the same. One example has to be a veteran who doesn't have a permanent total disability.
Right.
But for the fact he's 65.
Correct.
Okay.
So you'd have, yeah. And so, but the one who has, in other words, what I'm saying is, the one, if neither one has a disability that's rated as permanent and total under 1521E, the one who is...
Well, he has to have it if he's under 65.
Right.
Is there a provision then for the similarly situated veteran? Well, they're not similarly situated. One is, both are 70, okay? One is rated 100%.
Right.
The other is rated 20%.
Right.
Okay? And then somehow they both get an additional 60%.
Okay.
So the one with 100% is permanently and totally disabled, plus 60%, gets the same thing as the one who does not have permanent and total disability.
That's the result of the statute, and the statute eliminates the need for a veteran to prove if
he's
over 65.
No, not a statute. That's the result of Harkness.
Which I think, yeah.
The statute says you have to be rated 100%.
Right, and Harkness says, but Harkness says 1513A does away with
okay.
that.
Okay, all right.
So, right. Unless there are further questions, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. I think the case is submitted.
We don't have to take that one.
We will greet counsel at the bar and then adjourn.
All right. Court is now in recess.